Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside Grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Blessed Godfrey of Cappenburg.
Godfrey?
Yes, Count?
I look forward to the day you and Eleanor will present me with a grandson.
All in good time, my anxious father-in-law.
I'd like to know before I die that our two duchies will be united under my grandson.
If it be God's will, Father.
Yes, Eleanor. I've toured your estates, Godfrey, and there's one thing I don't like.
Yes? What's that, Count Wilhelm?
That circular storehouse. Your steward tells me it's filled with provisions for distribution to the poor.
That's right. I always plan to set aside a portion of the harvest for the needy peasants.
Well, I suggest you put a stop to it at once.
Father!
I see no reason to do so.
Well, peasants are naturally lazy. Once they know you'll hand out provisions to the needy, they'll become needy, and you'll get no work out of any of them.
I'm sorry if I disagree, Count Wilhelm, but I just don't believe my peasants are naturally lazy.
Well, you're young. It'll pay you to listen to someone who's had more experience.
What am I to do if there's a poor season and the peasants are short of food?
Tell them to tighten their belts.
Godfrey, come to the window.
What is it, dear?
Well, the servants are arguing with some man. He looks like a beggar.
Excuse me. I'll see what's going on.
Does your husband always look after beggars and neglect his guests?
Why, you're annoyed.
Well, there was no need for Godfrey to leave just as dinner's about to be served. The servants could take care of the beggar.
Well, he'll be back in a moment.
Well, you don't seem to mind his bad manners.
Oh, it's not that at all. Godfrey doesn't like to see anyone go hungry.
This is just an example of how he neglects his social duties. There are certain obligations the nobility has, such as entertainment, calling on people. You don't go out much, do you?
We entertain our friends. Hope we don't have lavish parties.
Well, I'm disappointed in Godfrey. I must say your marriage hasn't turned out as well as I expected.
I don't know just what you expected, but you can tell our friends that I'm perfectly happy. And I wouldn't want Godfrey to be different.
Well, look at him down there. What's keeping him?
The man's not a beggar. Why, he's a holy man. He's blessing the servants.
Oh, what's going on? Godfrey's bringing him in. And by the front door.
Hey, why, he's barefoot. And look at the shabby frock he wears.
Oh, religious beggars are the worst. Give to one and the rest of them beat a path to your door. If Godfrey has any sense, he'll give him nothing and send him packing.
Well, he won't.
Before I go, I'm going to set your husband straight on a few things.
Oh, here he is. Now, please, Father, I'd rather you didn't say anything more to Godfrey.
Father Norbert, please. I'd like you to meet my father-in-law, Count Wilhelm, and my wife, Lady Eleanor.
God's blessing on this house, Count Godfrey.
You look familiar. Haven't we met before?
Yes, at my father's funeral. We talked briefly.
Of course. You're the son of Count Herbert of Genup.
You're of noble birth? Well, excuse me. I'm sorry, Father. It's just that
You can't understand how the son of a nobleman would be in this humble attire. There's no need to apologize, my child. Few people understand.
Well, I am among them. I knew your father. It's beyond me why a man of your rank would renounce his title and go about barefoot.
Come, no more discussion. Father Norbert, we're about to have our meal. Will you join us?
What?
Thank you, but just some bread will suffice.
No, I'll not hear of it.
I'll not eat with him.
Father, I'll have the servants serve Father Norbert in the kitchen.
But Eleanor, I invited him to share a meal with us here at the table.
Your wife, Godfrey, is trying to tell you in a polite way I'm not accustomed to eat with beggars.
Oh, Father, please.
Don't be embarrassed, my child. I understand Count Wilhelm's attitude. There was a time when I would have said the same things.
Take this coin and leave.
Count Wilhelm, Father is here at my invitation. It's growing dark and the roads are dangerous.
I've caused enough embarrassment. I'll accept your wife's kind invitation to sit with the servants.
Well, come, Father Norbert. Let me show you the way. I'm sorry, Father.
There's no need to be, my child. After all, I too am a servant.
Godfrey, before I consented to my daughter's marriage, I was told by your father that you'd gotten over your childish notion of wanting to be a priest.
What provokes that comment?
Well, your bowing and scraping before this Father Norbert makes me wonder.
You had no right to insult him.
Well, someone had to put him in his place, since you wouldn't.
Are you sure you weren't trying to put me in my place?
Since you bring it up, there are a few things I want you to understand. In the first place, you're not living up to your obligations to the nobility. In the second place, my daughter
Count Wilhelm, you're my guest, and you will always be welcome, but that doesn't entitle you to lecture me on how to manage my affairs.
I'm Eleanor's father, and I'm going to see to it her interests are not jeopardized.
May I remind you that that's the avowed obligation of a husband?
What is this? What is the duty of a husband?
Apparently, to tell your father, his advice is not needed or welcome.
Have you two been quarreling?
It's nothing of importance, my
Godfrey dear. Objects to my putting Father Norbert in his place.
Father Norbert's a very unusual person.
So's the man who stands on his head in the public square.
You really mean to dismiss him that easily?
Well, you saw how he was dressed. I regard a man who throws away his nobility to walk barefoot and wear rags an eccentric fool. Eleanor, don't tell me you could sit down to a meal with that beggar.
I was distressed at first, then later. Well, his appearance seemed unimportant. His humility is genuine.
Well, you don't know that. You just met him.
I felt it. Your harshness made him feel sorry for you.
I need nothing from him. He'll be gone in the morning. Good riddance.
I've asked him to stay and rest for a few days.
In heaven's name, why?
He interests me. I'd like to know more about him.
I would, too.
He must have some compelling reasons for renouncing his titles to become a priest.
We've always gotten along, Godfrey. And this is as near as we've ever come to a quarrel over what, I ask? A hypocritical priest.
Oh, he's not that. You've no right to... Oh, I'm sorry, Father. I don't mean to shout at you. Oh, now, come. We're making too much of our visitor. We mustn't let anyone come between you and Godfrey.
I'm afraid he's done that already. If he's to be your guest for a few days, I'll be obliged to cut my visit short.
Father, no.
I'll leave in the morning.
There's no reason for that, sir.
Unless you see fit to withdraw your invitation.
You're not serious.
I'm most serious.
Father, you're unfair. Why are you forcing Godfrey to a choice?
Because I regard this man as a traitor to his class. And my staying under the same roof with him would be interpreted as approval of his act.
That is utter nonsense.
I'm to take that as a refusal to withdraw your invitation.
If you insist.
Father, please listen to me.
Excuse me, I must tell my servant to pack. Good night, Eleanor. Godfrey.
Father Norbert, I'm very sorry about what happened yesterday. My father's a proud man, and often he speaks without thinking. I hope you'll forgive him.
Of course, my child. As I said, I understand his point of view. I was brought up in the same school.
He seems to know something of your background.
Nothing of the important part.
My father was a lot like Count Wilhelm. My future was planned. A proper marriage would be arranged, and when he died, I would continue the line.
Surely there's nothing wrong with that.
It's the customary thing. So I grew up leading a frivolous, useless existence, and would have continued had it not been for a miracle.
A miracle? Do you mean a real miracle? The hand of God?
I'm quite sure it was.
Miracle? Tell us of this miracle.
It was in the early morning. I was riding home from a gay party. A sudden storm came up. There was a blinding flash of lightning and an instant crash of thunder. My horse reared and I was thrown, knocked unconscious. When I recovered, I spoke these words. Lord, what wilt thou have me do?
The words of St. Paul to the Lord.
Yes. But why those words from me? I who'd given little thought to religion and was interested only in pleasure.
Perhaps deep in your heart and soul, you longed for the truth.
And then I heard a voice saying, turn from evil, do good, seek after peace, and pursue it.
And that's why you renounced your inheritance and became a priest.
I became a priest, but retained my holdings. I began to preach and was denounced as a hypocrite and an innovator.
By whom?
By the papal legate, who charged me with preaching without commission or license.
What a terrible blow.
When I examined myself, I realized the charges, for the most part, were true.
What?
I was preaching humility, admonishing the rich to give to the poor. And all the while, my estates were intact.
But you could still be sincere in what you were preaching?
No. I was a liar. I wasn't following Christ. I was hobbling after him with the shackles of my wealth around my ankles. I knew what had to be done.
Please, go on, Father.
After disposing of everything I owned, I went to Rome, made a full confession at the feet of the Holy Father. He rewarded me by granting permission to preach the gospel.
Do you always travel about?
I was assigned to assist in making much-needed reforms of the canons regular at Lens. They were not interested in reforms. So I withdrew to the isolated valley of Premontre and founded my own community.
A new order?
No, it was the canons regular, reformed, with stern discipline and absolute obedience to vows.
When was it established?
In 1121, 2 years ago, on Christmas Day. I and 13 novices took our vows. But we've grown, and I hope soon to establish another community.
Father, tell me, have you found the peace you were told to seek?
I never knew what true happiness was until I forgot worldly possessions and devoted myself entirely to Christ.
I envy you, Father.
Many people have said that to me. So few mean it.
I really mean it, Father Norbert.
Go thou, then, and do likewise.
Godfrey.
Yes, my dear.
Do you realize that since Father Norbert left, you've hardly spoken to me?
I'm sorry, Eleanor. I didn't realize.
He disturbed you.
More than I dare admit, even to myself.
You said you envied him. Do you?
I don't know what made me say that. We were sitting here making conversation. I had to say something. Then he flung the challenge at me. Go, do likewise.
But that's impossible.
It wasn't for him.
But he had to. It was a message from God.
Those words to St. Paul were not for Paul alone.
What do you mean?
There comes a time for every man when he must ask, Lord, what wilt thou have of me?
You feel that time has come for you?
Yes, the time has come.
And have you asked Paul's question of the Lord?
I know the answer. It's the same for every man.
But you don't do evil. You're compassionate, generous.
In your eyes, because you love me. But what am I in the eyes of God?
Good, I'm sure.
It's not enough. If one can be better than good.
And now we're making conversation. You not knowing what or how to speak your heart, and I'm afraid to ask. It's never been like this before. What is it, Godfrey?
I wish to join Father Norbert.
And what of me?
For a long time, two of my sisters have wished to enter a convent. I'll build one for them, and you can join their community.
No, no, no. Not to see you, not to talk to you. I couldn't bear it. I couldn't.
Remember when there was a threat of war 2 years ago? I said goodbye and rode off, perhaps never to return.
I remember. Each time a letter came, my heart stopped beating.
If I had died, you would have been alone. And yet you let me go. You made our parting as easy for me as you could.
There was danger. Our home, our lives were at stake.
This is a different battle, a cause more worthy. There's no danger. We'll be apart, but you'll know I'm alive and look forward to messages. And you'll be in the battle with me, in a war against poverty, sickness, faltering faith.
Oh, Godfrey, I don't know what to say. I want what you want. I want to do what's best for you.
What's best for both of us. I must not seek salvation for myself.
Let's wait. You might find you have no religious vocation. Suppose you try it for a time and to make sure. I'll remain here. Then after 6 months
with
or so, we can talk.
In this with me, I would have one foot in this world, one foot in another. I'd be of no use to you. Less use to a religious order.
It's all or nothing, then?
Yes.
Oh, God, we know. Isn't there some other way we can serve God?
I fought him, my Lord, my Christ. I told myself I was a fool for even thinking about it. I tried to force back those words of Paul, but it was no use. Lord, what wilt thou have of me? Flashed into my mind at every turn. I first whispered them, but only to myself. And then in desperation I went to the chapel, and I lifted my hands to the crucifix, and I cried out to God, the question direct. And there was an answer.
An answer?
The words of Father Norbert reverberated through the chapel. Go thou then and do likewise. I fought it no longer. It seemed I had no will of my own.
Oh, my poor husband. How you have tortured yourself because of me.
And then it came to me. Don't leave her alone in this world. Lead her to God, that in this world to come, you will be joined again.
It will be as you wish, as now I wish.
Oh, God bless you, Eleanor. I'll go to Father Norbert today.
You're insane. When I first heard of it, I wouldn't believe it. Now you tell me it's true.
Yes, Count Wilhelm. Eleanor and I have decided to lead a religious life.
Eleanor, go to your room and pack. I'm taking you home with me.
No, no, Father.
I'm your father. Do as I say.
You always seem to forget I'm her husband.
Father, it was my choice to become a religious.
Don't take me for a fool. He talked you into it. Tell him you've changed your mind. Tell him he'll make himself the laughing stock of every court in Europe.
I'm quite sure you're right, Count Wilhelm.
It does not matter. We'll not hear it.
But I shall. I'll be regarded as a fool for marrying my daughter to this crackpot.
Only your pride will suffer.
If you're fool enough to throw away your life, I can't stop you. But you'll not take my daughter with you. I demand you release her from any promise she's made.
I and Godfrey's two sisters are to enter the convent he will build.
You're returning home with me. Godfrey, I swear that if you try to take Eleanor away, I'll stop you. Even if I have to kill you.
Father!
Count Wilhelm, I'm not afraid of your threats. But I ask you to retract.
Never.
I ask you because you make them not in my house, but in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ.
What are you talking about?
2 days ago, this castle was turned over to Father Norbert's order of canons regular. Eleanor and I are now under his direction.
This castle, the estate's gone? I shall appeal to Rome, to the Emperor. I'll tell how this Father Norbert used his evil power to persuade you to surrender everything to him. I'll have him investigated and tried for witchcraft.
So it's the loss of the estate that grieves you.
It wasn't yours to fling away. It was the inheritance of the grandson you never gave me. You're a thief as well as a fool. You'll die for this.
Killing me will gain you nothing. My lands have been deeded to God, and I'm his vassal.
Well, we shall see. Eleanor, I command you to come with me.
No, Father, I shall remain. Please go, and try to find it in your heart to understand.
In my heart, I wish you were dead.
Father Norbert, it's so good to see you. Please, tell me everything that's happened since your last visit. How is Godfrey?
He has a severe cold. Nothing serious, but I ordered him to bed as a precaution. He works much too hard.
And he's at peace?
Oh, yes, my child. Your father was unable to block the sale of his lands, and Godfrey has founded the hospital. He spends much of his time there caring for patients. No task is too small for him. I've seen him washing the feet of patients and pilgrims.
Give him my love. And tell him I am at peace, too, and serenely happy.
Of course.
Now, tell me about the order. Do you have many new novices?
Indeed, we have. We now have 8 abbeys and 2 nunneries. I'm on my way back from Rome, where I went to get formal approval of our constitution.
And you did?
Yes. His Holiness graciously gave me everything I asked for.
Oh. You hear anything of my father?
I once tried to see him, but he threatened to have the dogs turned on me if I didn't go immediately.
I pray for him daily that God will drive the bitterness from his heart before he dies. But tell me, has Godfrey attained a priesthood?
Not yet. He's received minor orders and is studying for it. By the time I return, I'm sure I'll have a message of love for you from Father Godfrey.
Then please hurry back. And don't let a year go by between visits.
Shortly after you left, Father, he developed fever.
Godfrey? Godfrey, it's Father Norbert.
Eleanor. Eleanor.
She sends her love. And she wants you to know that she's happy and at peace.
Then I'm ready. Bless me, Father, for I'm dying.
I pray to God to spare you.
No, no. Tell Eleanor, I die in great joy of spirit. and not for all world wishing my life to be prolonged.
I bless you, my son, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
My husband, Godfrey of Cappenburg, died January the 13th, 1127, at the age of 30. He was a youthful saint who had but a few years of life on earth to make preparation for his eternal life in heaven.